Big Sight, New Hank, Coco, Big Sight. Yeah. Y'all know how this shit go,
you know. All eyes on me.
Roll up in the club and right. Shit.
All eyes on me.
What's that sound like to you? You like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, people. One more time.
I bet you got it twisted. You don't know who to
yeah.
trust. So many player hating niggas trying to sound like us.
Another episode of American Riddle. That's right. You got your boy Tupac opening the show today. I see a lot of smiles in the audience today. And yes, we do have an audience, people. So yeah, thanks for tuning in. And as always, I appreciate you guys sharing the podcast and posting it, reposting it with a friend, because that's what makes this show go and makes it way around the ultranet, the internet. We got we had Jill Breeze on last week, guys. You guys hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
Right. Yeah, got the highest hits ever on American Riddle.
Really?
Yeah. She's at right now. Last time I checked, Jill Breeze, but I like to call her Breeze. You know what I mean? It's like freeze. You know what I mean? She's cold blooded. You know what I mean? So she got almost 660 hits.
Really?
Yeah. Outdid Crazy Legs.
Whoa.
Really?
Yeah, she brought it.
Nice.
She brought it. And also it helped because many people shared it. She
right.
shared it a couple times on you know, her social media pages and stuff like that. And then it starts to take life, just
bounces,
like the Smalls family.
Cool.
So yeah, that's what makes it go around, people. So if you are listening out there, share it with a friend, right? That's how it happens. Rick Marrero actually dropped off of social media for a minute. Huh?
Yeah.
Did you? You're taking a break, huh?
Well, I keep forgetting that now. Something was going on with it. Stuff was showing up on my page. I shut it down, and now I keep forgetting to go back in.
Oh, you got hacked or some shit?
A little bit. I think I got a little hacked.
It
Whatever.
Happens.
Just change your password.
That's
and
what
just
I need
go
to
back.
Do. That's what I need to do.
Takes 2 seconds.
I know. Just think about that. It only takes 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And I have not done that.
Yeah, because you need that stuff. But for your work one works
fine.
I know. It's your personal one, right?
Yeah. And I have to use my personal one to get to the work one.
Oh, you got to get that taken care of.
Yeah.
Because I didn't set it up originally. The work Facebook page.
Got to do it, Rick. Got to stay on top of your stuff.
I got to do a lot of things. It's a problem.
Just like you do your restaurant. You know what I mean? You're on top of that. And by the way, this episode is brought to you by Desiderio. Italian American Grill, right out of Gainesville, VA. That's right. We got the mobile studio in effect, and
yes,
Rick is the hip hop restaurateur is hosting this podcast. So big ups to my man from the Bronx.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's what's
Thank
up. Funny thing is, turn that down for a minute. That's how I do it. Mariam Tazi, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you, Malcolm
Riddle?
Yeah,
Mariam Tazi got her family in straight out of Morocco.
Yes, indeed.
You know what I mean?
Family filled summer.
For how long?
A while. Yeah, like 5-6 weeks.
Wow.
That's good stuff, though. When you don't see your family in a while.
Yeah, it's been a couple years. So
that's good.
Yeah.
When you cross the Atlantic, you got to stay for a while.
That's good food for the soul, they say, right?
Well, no food yet. It's Ramadan. So at the end of the month, once it's over, then we'll be eating right.
Right when they're getting ready to leave?
No. There's a couple weeks after that. So
nice.
We should be good.
Enjoy.
Mm-hmm. I am. I'm trying.
So I was talking to Rick online the other day. Might have been yesterday. I get all the days kind of merged together. And I don't know why, but I was just going through and I was listening to some old stuff. And I started listening to Snoop. That's, you know, why I opened the show today with some West Coast rap music. And Snoop, funny thing about Snoop is, I don't know, maybe I forgot, but I just forgot how good he is. You know what I mean?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
You forgot?
I didn't forget, but sometimes I need to listen to something straight through, like the whole album.
Mm.
I think we're in this age right now where we pick, you know, we'll pick a song, go to the next, buy a song, go to the next. So I was like, let me practice what I preach. So I got the whole Doggy Style album and just put it on and just played it. And just one after the other, it hit home runs.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I'm listening halfway through, I'm texting Rick. I'm like, yo, man.
Yeah.
You know,
remember this?
And remember, he was like, Snoop was like the heir apparent. You know what I mean? He was like the second coming. You know, he was hailed as, you know, the next
power.
King of rap at one point in time. And still holds a crown, you know, so to speak.
Oh, yeah.
He's got respect worldwide, even in Jamaica.
Yeah.
Well,
hey, you know what I mean? Why are you trying to hate on Snoop Lion? I'm sorry. It's a respect thing, just to be part of the Rastafarian, you know, crew.
He needs to get back to where to his roots, though, too, because he's due for something. It's been a while.
Snoop?
Yeah.
Yeah, but even still, he's like doing his stuff. He's done stuff with Pharrell, right?
Yeah.
He's done a lot of stuff.
A few things with Pharrell.
And now
yeah.
he's, you know, he's coaching the kids in football. Yeah. He makes appearances on the award shows and stuff like that. But his rep, like, it's solid. When you think of Snoop, he never really fell off. He did do that little transition with what was his name, Master P. You know what I mean? When he had all the glitter and stuff on the album cover, he was with No Limit Records.
Yeah, that's when.
That was with the beef,
with,
I think.
With the Bishop Don Juan.
Yeah, but
and his
Pimp
Cup.
But even still, like as a complete artist.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
His stuff has been.
Yeah, I told you last night that him and Dre were responsible for West Coast. They created. There was stuff before them, but no one ever paid attention to it. He was the first person to have people on the East Coast listening
West Coast
and appreciating it.
Some of the first West Coast that I heard was this.
6 in the morning, police at my door.
Yeah, see?
Fresh Adidas across the bathroom floor. Out my back room.
You're right.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Didn't even get a chance to grab my old school tape. Man, we know me.
You got to just vibe to that for a minute, huh?
Yeah, but...
Got a knot in my pocket when least the grand.
Yeah.
Gold on my neck, my pistol's close at hand.
That's for those of you guys listening, that's old school. I'm taking it back, you know what I mean, to the early 80s. And this is the L.A. player, Ice-T.
Ice-T. Yeah. The thing with Ice-T and some of those guys around his time, for people who lived on this side, the right side versus the left side, it was too West Coast. It was too West Coast. I couldn't relate.
Yeah.
Snoop
he
was not too
it.
Much yeah. West Coast.
He bridged
more
it.
Relatable, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why I think he, I mean, the production was great, Dre, and it wasn't, you know, you have a lot of West Coast rappers, a lot, but very few.
Yeah, no, I agree, deal. I agree.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
I like Cypress Hill. They're considered West Coast, but I always...
Yeah, I like them too. I saw them in concert.
Cypress Hill, yeah, I saw them in concert also. I mean, the groups like that kind of, it's not too much West Coast. That's why Southern rap, it's too Southern.
It's really bouncy
too,
in the South.
Yeah. It's too, and they're making it for themselves. I get it.
Yeah.
It's a different style, though. You can respect that.
Yeah, you know? So Snoop itself, phones are blowing up, people.
Yeah.
We got callers calling in. We got all sorts of things going on in the studio today.
Mm-hmm.
So just bear with us. Don't worry about that. Don't let it take you off your game. Because we got Snoop in the house. Yeah.
Was the dog pound here right on W Balls.
I better not play that because I didn't even mention to the people listening in the studio today. I got my son Justin Riddle and I got my nephew Craig Riddle. So they're really excited today. So I got to be careful how much Snoop I do play. So I got to be on point when it comes to that. But we can fast forward.
W Balls.
Ooh. Remember this?
Of course.
That's what's up right there.
Flute. Yeah. Dre's no joke.
He brings it, man.
No
He's
joke.
He's never failed.
No.
Hopping, stopping, hopping like a rabbit. When I take the Nina Ross, you know I got to have it. I lay back in the cut with
That's why I was so excited when the rumors were that Rakim was going to do an album with Dre. It never happened.
Yeah.
It was close. Maybe they might have even done some tracks. I remember.
They did some tracks, yeah.
But nothing.
Yeah, it didn't come to life. But listen to this. Damn. You hear that? And what was unique about that time and that space was... Every artist sounded different. This is like you just outlined. The South sounded like the South. You know what I mean? The East, you knew New York rap. You knew Philly rap. You knew the West Coast, L.A. But it's weird now because so many MCs tend to sound like each other. You know, not all, but...
There's a specific sound that...
Yeah, there's a sound that is being produced right now, mass produced.
And it's sold and bought, and everyone's trying to make their money with that same sound.
Yeah, but when I was kicking back the other night, just listening to this, I was just like one after the other. I mean, it was just clear. The production value was up. The lyrics, the delivery. I mean, all listen.
niggas try to play the D.O.G. like a mutt. I got a little message, don't try to see Snoop. I'm finna fuck a bitch, what's her name, it's Luke. You try to see
but yeah, the you're right about Dre. I mean, he's able, Dr. Dre is able to put people together and make things happen. I mean, it's
Snoop and Dre's own album, The Chronic.
And before that, N.W.A.
Yeah, N.W.A.
I mean,
yeah.
You had Easy, you had Ice Cube, you had MC Ren, you had that whole group that you know, came together and just made something magnificent when you think about it. Yeah. And it sounded so different, you know. And when you talk about you know, when you talk about Dre, I think about this too. Yeah, this is the follow up. This Dre, is the Watcher Part 2.
Well, I was about to ask you, the Watcher to me is one of Dre's best. Just production and himself. Not many DJ producers can rap.
Yeah.
Not many. They try.
They think they can. But.
Right.
Well, he's a really unique character because person, human being, producer.
Right.
Not so much a character, but he's unique because he innovates. You know what I mean? He's always thinking ahead, and his timing is perfect. You know what I mean? He sets the tone and sets the trends and everything.
That's what he did with beats.
Yeah. And now he's an Apple exec.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It doesn't get any better than that.
No. Smart man.
I hate to even cut this off. You was putting Peter Pan up in your room. Y'all fucking with home. Allow me to be taught. Cowards is just now learning the shit that we taught. You niggas ain't know about a ride report. By the high speed Porsche, i.e., you niggas ain't know how to floss. Too, I came through the door like Eric B. For prayers, respect me in this bitch. You can't disrespect us. That's what's up. Yeah, I mean, I could play that all day and all night.
Yeah.
He's world class, and he's a he's an innovator that, again, once he sets his mind to it and touches something, it's a hit.
Yeah.
And it's not a hit for the sake of it just trying to make a hit. No, he's making something unique. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, he's part of hip-hop history.
He is hip-hop history.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Regardless of what coast.
Yeah, yeah. Dre, that's something I look for. And that's something I look for in every field. It doesn't just have to be within rap music or the culture of hip-hop. You take, for instance, in social media and how social media has built up a flood of filmmakers and comedians from all over the world, because you're able to produce your own, it could be anything, produce your own film, produce your own stand-up show, you can do anything and just put it up online. Right. You can put it up on iTunes and sell it, you know, for $5 or whatever you're pushing, whatever this podcast, you know what I mean, put it up for free. You can you know, hit so many different people in so many different places. You know, it speaks volumes, I think. But again, you have to be the one in command of that vessel and kind of shape your own image, you know?
Yeah.
Which makes me think of the gentleman that we're getting ready to get on the horn, Terry Excellent, another innovator. He's a cool brother. I usually watch him on, well, I do watch him specifically on Vine. And when you think about this for a second, Vine, you get 6 seconds to produce something. Six, that's all you get. That's it. That's your time.
Yep.
Right? So these cats on Vine today, what they're doing, what they're innovating is storytelling within 6 seconds. Okay? So they have to get your attention, keep your attention for 6 seconds, which isn't a lot of time.
No.
You know, internet, the time, the what is it, the space that you have to, what is it when you have to think about something for a second? What's the word I'm looking for? No one can help me.
I don't know what you're trying to say.
You don't have a lot of time to be playing around. You don't want to look at a 10-15 minute video. People are
the short attention
that's
span.
It. Thank you, Mariam Tazi. Sometimes I get podcast-itis, son. It happens. Your attention span.
His looks are so classic.
Yeah. My son is sitting to my right. And he's just looking at me like I'm crazy. But I am crazy because I just put it out there. Sometimes I mess up. It's not scripted. We just roll what's on our mind.
That's why I'm here.
That's right. You know what I mean? She's my Jerry Rice, you know. Joe Montana.
I'll take that, yeah. I guess.
That's the only thing I could think of really quick. Rick Marrero. You know what I mean? I could have said
I know what you meant.
Peaches and Herb or something like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't know.
Ike Turner and Tina.
Well,
you know I don't know about that. I don't know about that one.
But, you know, back to Vine, you get 6 seconds. So one of the things I find unique is when I'm just laying around and there's nothing but garbage on television, I'll just pick up Vine and see what's on there to entertain myself 15, 20 minutes or whatever. Usually I'm thinking I'm going to be on there for 5, but I end up finding a bunch of things. Yep. For not 20 minutes have gone by, and I'm just looking at these clips. A lot of comedians on there.
Yeah.
That's how I ran across Terry Excellent. Does these Vines, and most of them are comedy. I'd say all of them are based on little comedy bits that he has going on in his life. And we're gonna take a quick break. And then we're going to introduce to you another innovator from the world of Vine. So we'll be right back after these words. Hello.
Hello,
Terry.
Yeah.
What's happening? It's Malcolm.
What's up, man? How you doing?
Good, good. So, you're on air right now. You're with, joined by myself, and I have Rick Marrero, one of our frequent guests, and my co-host, Mariam Tazi.
Hello.
What's going on?
Yeah, how y'all doing?
Good.
What's up?
That's what's up. You sound pretty laid back.
Yeah, I kind of just woke up like 30 minutes ago.
So. Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry about that, but it's time to rise and shine, Terry Excellent.
Yeah.
You don't get a name like Excellent by sleeping in, do you?
Yeah, you're right.
That's what's up. I also have in the studio today, I got my nephew, Craig, and my son, Justin. They were big fans of yours, so I told them they could sit in, listen in, because I don't think they believed me when I said we were going to do an interview today. I mean...
Yeah.
These cats.
Well, tell them I said what's up. Well, if they can hear me.
Yeah, they can hear you.
What's up? Well, what's up, little man?
Yeah. So, Terry, you're on Vine. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Where you're from, where you grew up at.
Okay, well, I was born in Boston, then moved to D.C. And I was, you know, raised in D.C. and Maryland for about 15 years. And then I came back to Boston. So, right now I'm in Boston for, you know, since... my freshman year of high school. So that's basically my little journey. I moved to LA for a little bit and then came back. So right now I'm just in Boston.
Yeah, what'd you move out to LA for?
Because of Vine, really. I moved out there because, you know, I started getting a bigger following. We went over there. We're going to do YouTube and all that stuff. And, you know, we did it for a little bit, but it didn't work out how it was supposed to. And I had to come back for school anyway, so, you know, it was fun while it lasted, but, yeah, it's, you know, back in Boston I am.
So with Vine now, or just social media itself, because one of the things I talk about on this show is connecting with people via social media. It's one of the favorite things I like doing. I like reaching out, whether it's something for the podcast, but a lot of it could just be business related or just, you know, meeting up, whether old friends, making new friends, whatever. But one of the things I was talking about when we opened the show was Vine and just its impact on just on the community itself, just within the world, because it's you get 6 seconds. I mean, you to tell your story, to lay it on out there. What was the first social media experience that you had? Was it Vine or was it something before Vine?
It was Vine. I think, yeah, Vine. I had probably like 4,000 followers. I used to work at Abercrombie, and I would go into work, and I remember there was a couple little girls, just they were giggling, and they were like, I know him. And that was probably the first time I ever kind of noticed that people I watch in my vines, and it was just 4,000 then. But
so
it was a couple of little girls just giggling, and I heard overheard them saying, "I know him," blah blah, yeah, and stuff like that.
So when you started in Vine, you obviously didn't get 4,000 followers. Like what?
Oh, yeah, no.
What did you do to acquire that amount? I think you're probably way more than that now, but you know, what was that journey like?
I don't know how to explain. It came out of nowhere, really. Because I made a Vine. I just recorded some off of the internet, and that started getting big. Once the Revine button came out, that Vine kind of just blew up. And, you know, I didn't really notice. I didn't really care about Vine that much. And then I'd make another Vine, and, you know, the numbers would kind of just, you know, they would climb up. I'd get a lot of likes pretty quickly. So, you know, about last September was like the, you know, when I noticed, okay, I got a nice little buzz going. Let me start making Vines, like, for real, take it seriously. And, you know, it was fun.
And which,
so it took a little bit, but, you know, about late September, last September, that's when I finally noticed I had a little buzz on it.
Yeah, so you had a good group of followers that liked your Vines.
Yeah.
And you know, when I'm on Vine, or any, it could be anything, Facebook, Twitter, you can pretty much get a sense of what the person behind that page, what their habits are, what, you know, what their personality, what is it?
Personalities?
Personality. I can't even get my words out today.
It's okay.
Maybe I'm still asleep. Jesus. It happens. But you can get a feel for what that person is like pretty fast. What I get from you is more of a comedic edge to you. Is comedy something that you're interested in, or is that your main focus? Is comedy?
I mean, not really. I was born with sickle cell, so I was always in pain. And you know, when I was young, I didn't like getting pity from people, so I always just, you know, try to make people laugh. So in class, I was always the class clown. And, you know, sometimes when I didn't feel well, just making myself laugh or making other people laugh kind of just made me feel better.
Yeah.
So I just did it just to, you know, just get my mind off of things. So I never really I didn't think I was going to be the next Dave Chappelle or nothing like that. I was just like, I just did it just for fun. And I was kind of good at it in high school. I still was just a class clown, and that's just how I was. I try to just be positive because there's a lot of negative stuff going on, you know, behind the scenes. So I try to just always be positive and just smile and have a big smile and always make those crazy little squeaky noises and everything just to kind of keep myself going and, you know, everybody else.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it definitely shows through on the Vines that you have. I mean, you know, I mean, they're pretty much all, I think, funny.
You die laughing watching his Vines. Let's be real.
Yeah,
he dies laughing watching your Vines, and he watches them over and over and over.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
But Terry, not in a weird way. So it's like,
I
don't mean to make it sound weird, but I'm just saying.
But you're just sitting on a couch. You know how it is. I mean, I was telling a story earlier that when there's nothing on TV and there's a lot of bad stuff on television, I can just go on Vine and I can hit up three or four people. And I'm dying laughing.
Dying.
Yeah, that's true. You could get on Vine for just like, you think, for a couple minutes before you go to sleep, and then you get on it for hours.
Yeah, that's me. That's me. And, but see, I get my laugh on, you know what I mean? And it makes me feel better. You know, I could have a rough day, you know what I mean? And I just hit Vine, and all of a sudden, I'm cheered up. I'll see something that's funny, and I'm done. I'm good, you know? So I can move on. Do you have a specific routine that you go after as far as what you want to Vine, or like do you ever just walk around and just be like, you know, that would make a good Vine, or do you?
That's kind of how it is. I mean, when I was living in L.A., you know, everybody that Vine over there, they put so much, you know, thought into it, and that's why sometimes it doesn't come out as funny.
Yeah.
So me, I used to just, before a long time ago, I used to just open my camera and just start speaking, and then I'll keep making a lot of Vines. It'll just be a lot. and then one of them will be funny, and then I'll just upload it. And when I went to LA, I kind of started overthinking it, and it wasn't as funny. And then when I came back, I'm starting to do the same thing where I just feel like I got to do a Vine, so I just start recording, and I'll make like 20, 30 Vines, and then one of them will be pretty funny, or a couple of them will be funny, and I'll just save them and upload one of them, one or two of them, and that's basically how it is. I don't like, you know, Vining when I'm out, but when I'm home, I just usually, it's whatever comes to mind, I just record it, and if it's funny, you know, it's funny, and if it's not, then I just delete it. So
now when it's,
I don't overthink it too much.
Now when it's funny, by, you know, by whose criteria? Is it yours? It has to be funny to you,
yeah.
Or do you bounce them off,
yeah,
other people?
It's really just, it has to be funny to me. If I watch it and I don't laugh at all, I mean, I think it's pretty stupid. But if I get a little chuckle out of it, you know, because most of my audience are a little, you know, pretty young. So,
yeah,
you know, if I could get a little chuckle of it, and I know that, you know, kids, is some, you know, a lot of kids will like, and I have a cousin that's 14, so he's like a good little,
yeah, you can test it.
Yeah, he's perfect for that. So, you know, sometimes I'll think it's yeah, so, you know, but basically I have to laugh, I have to think it's funny. If it's pretty funny to me, then I'll just upload it.
The best is like when you do a Vine, I could talk about this all day. The best is when you do a Vine and right when you're saying something, it cuts off and then it starts to loop over again. So you're like, you're about to say something and then boom, it cuts. And that's the funny thing, because then you as the audience, you have to use your imagination and you fill in the blanks. So,
yeah, that's exactly what happened with my latest Vine. I just made one. I kind of cursed in it, but I was just talking.
Yeah.
Talking some crazy stuff, and it cut off the last part, and everybody loved it, just the ending of it and everything. So
yeah, it works on every level. I've talked about ways of trying to promote and to showcase Vine to a mass audience, whether that be in a film festival or just a social gathering or something like that. I've been a part of different festivals over the years, and it's something that I find intriguing. Have you ever had any events with other, you know, other Viners? I guess that's how you say. Do I sound old?
No, you're right. We had a Super Vine in Boston. Jerry Perp drank. He has like probably 5 million followers, and me and Jerry have been friends for a while. I knew him since he had like a million followers, so we've been friends for a good while. And we have another guy named Omar Gonum. He's out here, and he's like 200K probably. So we did a Vine meetup,
yeah,
and in our local mall, and
yeah,
it
saw
was
that.
Pretty crazy. Yeah, it was crazy.
It was mass hysteria. It was. I saw it, and that's one of the reasons you know, it led me to reach out to you, just because of that power that you have, you know, being able to connect with a large group of people. And like you said, you're in that instance, they were like 10, 12, 13 year olds, I think. I
mean,
it seemed like a whole like mall.
It was a lot of people.
So what you did in that, for the audience that's listening, what Terry did was I think you even promoted it, saying, I'm going to be here at this time, right?
Yeah.
And and how did you connect with the other people that joined you, the other Viners?
Well, you know, like I said, I knew Jerry personally, so I just call him, we text.
He lives near you?
Yeah, not too far. He probably was like 20 minutes from me. So
Jerry,
he lives in LA now, but when he was living in Boston,
gotcha.
You know? Yeah.
So when all those, and I want to talk about Jerry soon, but when all the kids got together, you know, well, how did that make you feel?
It was weird. It was really weird at first, because, you know, I was just, you know, I made a bunch of fun, and
yeah.
Yeah, finally, it's just, you know, they're having a meetup.
Mm-hmm.
And you go there, and there's literally like 300-400 people just screaming. Like, right when we got to the mall, they started screaming. And we got through the elevator, and there was like security, like top security. We didn't know who these people were, and they were escorting us and everything. their phones and take pictures, and it's just, it's weird. Like, you know, you wouldn't think, yeah, I mean, I don't want to call myself a celebrity, but it's like they're treating me like you're a celebrity, and it's just, it was kind of weird at first, but it was really cool. Just talking to everybody, taking pictures, they all, you know, giggling and stuff when you take a picture with them. I made a couple of vines with people, and it was just, you could tell how happy they were, and it was just cool. Just had an impact just to make other people laugh, and they love it. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah, no, that you're spot on for saying, using a celebrity term, because I mean that's essentially that's what, you know, you are once you put yourself out there on the internet and it catches on, whether it's a small group or a large group, you become a celebrity in that circle. And then what you choose to do with that celebrity, in your case, you obviously seem to be very genuine, that you just want to make people smile, please people, and make them laugh at the end of the day. So what you're doing with that celebrity seems to be very positive. Do you have any plans in the future to do anything like outside of the Vine world to market that celebrity?
Well, I never really thought of anything yet, just because I've been real focused on school. I'm starting up school. I had to do a couple of essays that I was late for. So I haven't really thought of anything like that yet. But there's a sickle cell foundation here in Boston. I definitely want to, you know, start going and kind of just find and tell people to just get that awareness, because sickle cell is a pretty big disease that not a lot of people know about. So I want to kind of just start vying it. And I don't want to make it sad. I don't want to make it, like, you know, cool. And if people over there that are cool, if they want to be in the line, you know, I could have them in a line or something. But
what's the name?
Know, that's something I do.
What's the name of the organization?
The Greater Boston Sickle Cell Foundation, I think. I'm pretty sure.
And you know, if anyone's listening that doesn't know, can you tell us a little bit about sickle cell and how it's affected you?
Yeah, well, sickle cell is something you're born with, and sickle cell is with your blood cells, and your blood cells are usually a circle, but with sickle cell people, their blood cells are sickle, which looks like a half a moon. So when they go through your blood, you know, red blood cells, they'll just go through smoothly and everything. But with sickle cell, they'll get blocked up and they'll start cutting oxygen to, you know, your bones. And when that happens, it causes really, 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 really bad pain. So, you know, a lot of people with sickle cell, like me, have pain every day because all the blood, you know, not everything is getting the proper oxygen. So it kind of just causes pain, really, really bad pain. And that's basically the gist of it. And you got to just take a lot of medicine, and you got to drink a lot of fluids, and just kind of got to watch yourself with everything you do. But, you know, a lot of people, you know, look healthy and they look like they don't have it, but they have it. So, you know, that's just, it's just one of those diseases that it's hard to tell who has it. Like, you know, cancer, you could tell who has cancer. You can tell if they're sick. With people with sickle cell, it's just, they look like a regular human. Like, a lot of people never would think I have sickle cell. I look healthy and everything, and then, you know, when I get sick, I can't move. I cry like a baby. It's bad pain. So, you know, it's very, very dangerous, very, very serious disease, but it's not really, not a lot of people are educated on it. So, well, that's kind of what I want to do for it.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's one of the things that you definitely could do as far as raising awareness, is using your celebrity to do that, whether it's like another Vine gathering and to raise awareness, or, you know, raise money for the foundation. Because, yeah, that's important. Yeah. And that's what I love. That's what I truly love about social media, is being able to connect with people and then use that power that we have to do good things with it. Because there's a lot – I mean, we all know that, and we probably heard horror stories that goes on within social media. But there's a lot of good that you can do, you know, within social media, and especially your celebrity. Because how many followers are you at now?
I'm about to hit 61,000.
Yeah, that, you know, some campaigns, you know, are one, you know, with less followers. So
yeah.
I mean, it's you know, my hat's off to you and what you're doing, because you know, and I'm glad that you let us, you know, into your life to share, you know, you know, your passion and your battle with sickle cell, because, you know, we wouldn't have known. And, you know, it just makes everything that you're doing mean that much more. And we'll do everything that we can to support you, you know, on our end. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
And just keep doing what you're doing, because, I mean, God, you get me through the night. a lot of nights, let me tell you. And also, you know, the other your friend, Jerry Perpdrink, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
that dude
is hilarious.
He's funny in real life too. There's a couple people that are, you know, they're funny on camera, and then they're just dull people.
Yeah, I found him on Instagram too, and he could just take a picture, and just the way he holds his head, or the way he looks at something, it's very comical.
Yeah, he's a pretty funny guy.
And you said he has how many followers?
About, he's probably at 5 million, or something like that.
Yeah.
How?
Yeah, his whole thing with the shoes, the Nike shoes and the watermelons. I mean, those the stereotypes and the symbolism that he uses for humor. I'll show it. I'll stop when sometimes I'm at work, and I'll be like, check this out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And the funny thing is, like, he really loves watermelon. Like, it was the four of us living together, and I was like, I don't really like watermelon like that. And he tried to fight me for it just because I really didn't like watermelon. So he's like, I mean, even though he's following the stereotype, he really loves watermelon.
Yeah, yeah. He took it personal that you didn't like his beloved fruit. It's a fruit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's the one – he did one where I think the house was haunted. That's one of my favorites. And he packs up everything, puts his shoes in, and then in the suitcase is a big watermelon. You know what I mean? Not slices, but a whole watermelon. And you guys have collaborated on a few vines, right?
Yeah, we did. We used to do a lot of vines. Well, when we were living together, we used to do a lot of vines together. And when he was in Boston, we did. So we did it. I probably had like 6-7 vines with him in it. Oh, yeah. It did a good amount.
So is L.A., much like the you know, television and film world, is Los Angeles becoming, you know, a Vine Mecca?
I mean, you can say so. A lot of Viners that move out there, they have, like, millions of followers, and they're usually out there to do other projects while on Vine. So they're doing a lot of projects that they're not allowed to talk about, or they're doing YouTube, they're transitioning to YouTube or something like that. And, that's basically it. But L.A. is a different type of place. It's like a different world out there. It's definitely a faster-paced place.
Yeah, I'm quite familiar with it. I'll be out there this weekend. It is. It very much is. And you got to, you know, as with anything else, I mean, you have to commit yourself to your craft, and when you move to a place like Los Angeles or New York or even Boston, it doesn't matter where it's at, you have to commit yourself to that environment. And sometimes it can be a bit of a shock, you know, an eye-opener when you go to someplace, you know, like Los Angeles that's so vast. Are there any influences? Like, do you have any influence far as comedy or music or just people in your community that help inspire you on your mission? Or is it just you? Do you just, like you said, is it just something as simple as, you know, you just wanting to see, you know, a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old smile, or even an old guy like me?
Yeah, I think it's more of me impacting other people. I don't really have any influences. I have a couple favorite Vine pages, but you know, it's just me trying to kind of. I do a lot of these vines to kind of keep my mind off of stuff too. Yeah. So it's kind of just keep my mind off of stuff, and then I'm making myself laugh, which is kind of dorky. But you know, I'm making myself crack up, and I know I'm making other people crack up. So it's just it's like a what situation.
No, I know exactly where I do the same thing with this podcast. it's pretty much for my entertainment, and sometimes one or two people will like it, and then those two people I've enlisted to be on this podcast. So it's fun to just do something, because I've said it time and time again that this form of media is therapeutic, and I'm sure that you know the Vine serves the same purpose.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of those other who are some of those other people that you you watch on Vine?
Danny Lopriori, he's the Lopriori brothers, just hilarious to me. I think they're really they don't change themselves; they're just themselves, and they're hilarious, and that's kind of what I like.
Yeah.
Let's see. Some
people.
I like Darius.
Go ahead.
I like Darius Benson. He's pretty funny. And I think that's about it.
Some people put a lot of thought. I know I follow Adam Goldberg, and Adam Goldberg. He was in Save It Private Ryan. He was in the Fargo television show. But I don't even know how he does it. But it's like a short film with so many clips. And then you got Paige Kennedy. And Paige Kennedy, I mean, he has, you know, stories and slow motion effects and, you know, all these, you know, really cool scenes within 6 seconds. And they put a lot of thought into what they're producing.
Yeah, that's like I said, in L.A., they put more thought. They want to make it more like a movie. Like, I met Paige, and really cool guy. And, you know, they just, they get an idea and they stick with the idea and they keep going at it, which is sometimes good, but then it's sometimes bad because it, you know, we had a joke when we went there, and it's called a delete. So basically they put a big idea to it. They make it. And if they put it up and they don't get the type of numbers they like, they delete it. So, you know, sometimes some people will have the biggest ideas, and then we'll say that's a delete, basically. So, you know, sometimes it's a hit or miss with those type of vines. There's some vines where Paige made where it's hilarious, and it's, everything is perfect, but, you know, his audience are more kids, and a lot of people wouldn't get it, so he had to delete it. Where sometimes, sometimes he puts a lot of thought to it and it works.
Yeah.
And, you know, happy with it. So it's a hit or miss with those type of vines, but
I'm the exact opposite when it comes to my podcast. Like, I don't plan it so much, and it's pretty much unscripted, and I don't delete anything, even when I can't pronounce a word. I just throw it up there, you know, because, I mean, I like that raw energy, you know what I mean? I like it when, but I also, I appreciate when, I can appreciate Paige Kennedy and Adam Goldberg when they do something and the amount of time that it looks like it's going into just 6 seconds. So I find it very impressive and also very entertaining, and I follow them.
Yeah.
Another one I follow is Q Park. And that dude is off the hook, because he'll just break out into a dance pretty much anywhere. You know, he could be in a dress or a ninja outfit, makes no difference, and he just does it. I wonder if they ever have it backfire while they're doing something like that in public.
Probably. I'm pretty sure that he gets kicked out a lot.
Yeah. Because, I mean, if you go up to the wrong dude or the wrong girl, I mean, they might, you know. And I think that would be funny to see those outtakes. Have you ever had a vine go south on you? But yours are more solo.
Yeah, that's basically I don't do public vine. I mean, when I'm out, and I kind of just don't really think about Vine unless someone notices me or something like that. But, you know, that's why most of my Vines are, you know, in my room or something like that. But I made a Vine before when I was about at 15,000, and it was really, really inappropriate. And I just remember all the comments and all the people were just like, what? And it was just kind of going crazy. I had to delete it real quick, but that was probably, it was pretty inappropriate what I said. And I think that's when I kind of just figured out my audience. And that's probably the worst Vine I made, just because of how the kids were reacting and everything. But
well, that's good that you're. That says a lot about you that you're. You know, you're aware. You're aware of your audience, and you know, you're aware of your conduct also, because that's something that I think a lot of people through social media, but also in mainstream media, whether it's in music or film or television, where they're just doing things just for shock value, or just because just because they can do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you're aware of it is good. How old are you?
19.
So you're 19, and you said you're in college. What are you studying?
Well, I went undecided, just taking my basic classes, but I'm going to be taking nursing, so I can be a pediatric nurse.
Good for you.
So I think I'll get it there. Thank you.
Yeah. That says a lot about you and your character.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, you see someone, and this is me speaking, it's when I see someone online, I follow people on Twitter or Facebook or wherever, especially on Vine, you just see them, and I'm always curious to see what makes them tick, who they are. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think just in this this brief conversation that we had, you know, now I have a much greater insight, you know, on who Terry Excellent is. How'd you come up with Excellent? Or is that your birth name?
That's my mom's real last name.
Really?
And, that's my whole family's real last name.
That's as good as it gets.
That's an awesome name.
Yeah. I have my father's last name, but it's getting changed to Excellent, so I just... Yeah, excellent. So yeah, that's my real last name. That's nobody awesome. Really believes me until I like show a bill or something.
Because I was like, maybe his name is Terry Washington or something like that.
Terry Jones.
I was like, no, but that just shows how authentic you are. You know what I mean? Everything is the real deal. Like I made I think you saw it. I made like a promo picture. I took a collage of different pictures of you, and I did it almost in a tagging graffiti style. Font.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, that's a cool name. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I kind of like the picture too. It was pretty cool. I had to save it.
Yeah, I got skills. I got skills. If you need someone to market you, or promote any of the events, I'll be more than happy to help you out in any way I can.
Just
having this opportunity to talk to you. I know, have you done any interviews like this before?
I mean, not really, not like a full interview. I mean, I've talked to people and they kind of just, you know, they'll take it in and they'll probably write something down about it. But there was nothing really, not like a real full interview like this.
Oh man, we appreciate it. I'm beside myself, so I'm having a great time. So Terry, tell us where people can follow you. Of course, on Vine, but Twitter, Facebook, anything like that. You want to give out any websites?
Just Twitter, Instagram, Vine, and, well, I'm not really on Facebook. So, just Twitter, Instagram, Vine. It's all Terry Excellent. Just my first and last name.
And the name of the sickle cell organization that you're a part of, tell us that name again.
It's called Greater Boston Sickle Cell Foundation, and basically they just do events. They'll do bike rides for sickle cell and just kind of, they're just really trying to raise awareness for sickle cell. So, you know, Greater Boston of Sickle Cell Foundation, I think.
Yeah, so that's what's up. Terry, excellent. Thanks for tuning in today. I know my my son and my nephew, they believe me now. So, you know, they've been sitting here in their best behavior. And, Justin and baby Craig, I think we're good now. I'm in good standing. You know,
they're definitely looking at you admirably.
Yeah. I got juice with the Viners. You know what I mean?
I appreciate that.
Yeah. So thanks for tuning in, brother. I appreciate it.
Yeah. All right, man. You guys have a good one.
You too, man. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Terry, excellent.
What a good guy.
Good human being, right?
Yeah.
19 years old.
Yeah.
19 years old, college student.
Very genuine.
You know what
positive.
I mean?
Positive.
Making people wanting to
do good,
genuinely
reach
out and make people laugh.
Yeah,
make yourself laugh first.
Yeah,
and then
if I was 19 years old and 61,000 people were following me,
It's a legion.
I would go to your head.
I would not be thinking about going to school for nursing.
It's a legion.
I'd be saying, I don't need a job.
And he's still very down to
earth.
No ego. Yeah. I even just threw out questions just to field him and see, you know, where his head was at. His head's on tight.
Yeah.
It's a big ups to his parents and you know, his friends, his family, people around him, because we're in an era right now where sometimes you can get caught up. You know what I mean? You get caught up in quote, you know, power. You know, you get caught up in having followers and having that. He didn't one time, you know, mention anything about fame or fortune. Going to
he was even uncomfortable saying the word celebrity.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was like, whatever, if you want to use that, I guess. But
yeah.
Yeah.
You know. And what's cool about that is there's no prep. I didn't call him to have anything. We talked a few times on Twitter. But that was it. That was it. That's all the communication. We were just going to, you know, riff and freestyle it. And I was very curious because I didn't know, you know, if he had you know, if he was like thinking about becoming a stand-up comedian and movies, stuff like that. No, he's
like, I'm thinking about school.
Yeah, he's thinking about his health.
Yeah.
Raising awareness for sickle cell. You know, getting through the semester.
Yeah.
Getting his homework done.
Getting his essays written.
Yeah. And then finding a career. Oh. It doesn't get any better than that. Does it?
No.
That's real, right?
That's awesome.
That's real.
There's hope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah, there is.
Some hope.
That's so true.
No, there.
The positive side, you know?
And it works.
Like, so, yeah.
But it works within.
I'm glad that's working, you know, that it's the positivity and laughter and good vibes that's working instead of, like, negativity.
Because how easy is it for us to, when you get back to the stereotypes, you know what I mean? When you say, oh, yeah, I just want to become a celebrity. I want to, you know.
Make money.
I want to, you know, move back out to L.A. and give it a, you know. No, he knows exactly what he wants to do. And those are the people that, you know, should be featured. I should see a guy like this on The View. I should see a guy like this on Jimmy Kimmel. You know what I mean? I should see a guy like this featured in a news story. You know what I mean? Not, you know, I don't want to know what's going on in the NBA or, you know what I mean, somebody suing somebody because of this game or this side or the other.
Yeah.
These are the stories that are layered with so much positivity. I mean, there were so many different layers in this brief conversation where everything was spot on and it was right from the heart, right from the soul.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Really enjoyed that.
It was good,
huh?
Yeah.
And he's funny. I mean,
like genuinely funny. He doesn't try to be funny. He just is, you know.
Yep.
And that's
I like the parallel between his style of filmmaking. And believe me, I specifically say Vine is a form of filmmaking. You only get 6 seconds, but it takes some thought and effort to make it work to keep your attention span. Yeah. The word I was looking for earlier, I got that one right.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't fumble over any words,
but
to keep someone's attention span, it speaks volume that you're able to do that. And then you have the other side of that where people will craft something, you know, a Paige Kennedy or Adam Goldberg, where they craft it into a story within 6 seconds and even implement special effects to move it along. I mean, those guys are very creative.
Yeah.
And, you know, hopefully, you know, maybe we'll get a chance to rap to some of those cats.
Yeah.
But I thought it would be interesting for you guys to, you know, be a part of this discussion.
No,
because
I mean,
you don't know who you're going to – you just don't know who you're going to meet, you know, or connect with. Whereas you go back 20 years, the same stuff. Like when we were growing up, Rick Marrero, we couldn't have connected if you were in the Bronx and I was in Flint, Michigan. You know what I mean?
Oh, we could have been pen pals, maybe.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was pen pals. Remember that?
Yeah.
Pen pals.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Huh, my son's looking at me like, you know,
what is that?
Pen pal. When you used to have to do, he knows what it is. Yeah.
I had to write actual letters.
Yeah, pen to pad. Believe that?
Yeah. By the time you got the letter, what it was like 2 weeks old, depending on where you were from.
Yeah, you had to put a stamp on
it. Took a long time. The news was not news anymore. It was just old news by the time it got to them.
Yeah.
Now you can do it in an instant.
Like that.
Yeah.
Put it up, and then there's people. And the what he was talking about, what Terry was talking about when he got all the kids together to go to the mall for a meet and greet, Yeah, it was insanity. It was like the Beatles.
You said something. They were like 12 and 13 year olds, right?
Yeah.
So their parents had to bring them to the mall, right?
Yeah.
So you have that side of it too. Parents buying into, you know, their kids want to go see this guy at the mall.
How are they going to get to the mall?
and their parents are bringing them.
Yeah.
That's power too. Forget about the kids. You got the parents to bring them. And that's a big deal. You know, that's a lot to not let go to your head.
Yeah, it's huge.
It didn't, though. It doesn't seem like it has. It's really cool. It's just like, yeah, it is what it is.
Well, that's because, you know what? And that's the other side of social media. You know, you have so much exposure. He's got 61,000 followers. It's not that big a deal. It was 20 years ago, if you showed up and there were, you know, and 40 people wanted to shake your hand and know you thought you were.
Yeah.
You know, now people are desensitized to that. You know, it's not like Malcolm was saying. If I wanted to, I could. You know, send something out to Jay-Z, and there's a chance he might.
Yeah, it's kind of weird how that happens.
Say something back.
It's weird how you can be that connected.
Right, the 6 degrees of separation is no more. There's 1 degree. It's your phone. It's your phone or your computer. That's the degree. There isn't.
To actually like reach out.
Yeah. Who do you know that knows someone that knows someone? I don't need to know anybody. I'll just get on my phone.
Yeah.
And I'll contact that person directly.
Yeah.
Whether or not they respond is, you know, but back then.
But you can actually just reach out at least.
Right. You could actually just reach out.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I did with
everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Adam Carolla, everyone. Yeah. It's true. Right. You just reach out and see what happens. The story of this coming to light, Justin. I was just out washing my car, right? Huh? And you can speak if you want. You can get up on the mic.
There you go.
I was just out washing my car, and Jay was like, "Yeah." I was like, "Yeah, I'm thinking about doing this. I'm gonna get an interview with Terry. You know, I'm like, look at this vine. I think I was just showing the vine or whatever." And he was like, "Well, how are you gonna contact him?" You know, I told this story before on a podcast, and I go, I'll send him a message. That ain't going to work. Remember that? You thought that.
Yeah.
Huh? What'd you think? Speaking of that mic. You didn't think it was going to happen, huh?
I thought you were insane when you
really? My son. You thought I was insane.
I speak the truth.
Yeah. So he thought I was insane, and I was like, yeah, I'll just shoot him a tweet. And that's not going to work. And I was like, well, it worked for Adam Carolla. And he just stopped and looked at me. And then I sent him a tweet. And we were driving home. And a few minutes pass. And I go, look who just messaged me. What did you think when that happened?
My heart just, like, dropped. Or I don't even know how to explain it.
Aww. Yeah. Yeah. So it shows you the impact of social media. And when you do it the right way. You know what I mean? You're able to connect with people. Yeah, there's a lot of craziness and weird stuff on the internet that you can get children, especially, and some grown-ups, can get involved with that, you know, may not be kosher, but there's a lot of really good productive stuff. You know what I mean? There's a lot of excellent stuff. You know what I mean? Like Terry excellent. That's right.
Pun intended.
That's right. Totally intended. So...
Well, I have to say I like that you focus on that kind of stuff, too, and you focus on the positive. I give you props for that, too.
Well, I've always said this has been very therapeutic. Mm-hmm. I know early on I used to do stuff kind of for shock value or whatever, or just riffing off the top of my head. But, I mean, it's the podcast itself is taking a form and starting after over a year, starting to take its own life. And, you know, within that, I think you have to respect the media that you're on.
For sure.
I'm no, like I said, this ain't the Tonight Show. I ain't, you know, Cronkite, you know what I mean, from the news or reporting it, which we need to start doing a news program anyway, because I want to get a press pass and to various outlets. But we'll talk about that. What do you think about that, Rick Marrero?
I want a press pass.
Yeah.
I would love a press pass.
Yeah. So, I mean,
we'll work on that newscasting.
There's different stuff here. I'm going to play this clip for you guys. Hold on. I'll get back to that in a second. Let's see if I got it. Why isn't that on? I'll have to do this in post. Oh, here it is.
And is that when he's at the mall? So
it's tons of kids, screaming
so
kids. And they're being escorted by police officers.
Yeah, security and all those kids.
So, yeah, you get it. I don't have to loop it 8 times. That's what happens. 1 minute turns into 60. That's that connection. That's that power that you have. And what are you gonna use to do with it, huh? You know, I'm going to talk about on the podcast, back to the podcast, I'm going to talk about stuff I enjoy, you know, stuff, you know, I think I know a little bit about. But at the same time, I still want to connect with other people that I find interesting. And I think, you know, you guys, the listeners, might find interesting. And also be a part of various things. And that's what I've been thinking about, the press pass. And we're going to get into that. And we're going to, you know, submit the proper paperwork. But again, it goes back to, you know, respecting yourself, respecting the craft that you're doing. You're not always going to be squeaky clean. I mean, Miriam has got on me saying, because I say, you know, you guys cover your ears. I say motherfucker too much. You know what I mean? I say it a lot. I do. I do say it a lot. I like the word. It's one of my favorite words. I don't know why.
Some episodes more than others.
Yeah,
it's just like
it is what it is.
The filler.
But this, you know, when I am uploading this and I'm spot checking, you know, I listen to myself and then I get better.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you're always going to kind of get better at whatever you're doing over and over again. Mm-hmm. And you see what you can fine tune because you have to be respectful. Like Terry, other people are watching. And in this case, other people are listening. And, you know, I'm mindful of that as well. You know, whether you guys believe me or not, you know, I'm still going to close the show the way I closed the show. That ain't going to stop because that's who I am. But on that note, big ups to Terry. You know what I mean? You guys enjoyed him?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I thought that was great.
Absolutely.
Good. I'm glad that we were able to bring excellence to the podcast.
The podcast.
Yeah. I can't get my words together all day, huh?
You were fine during the interview.
Bubblegum in my mouth. It is what it is, Rick Marrero. I see you looking. The hip-hop restaurateur. You know what I mean? This podcast is brought to you by Desiderio, Gainesville, Virginia. I can't get it together, people. But that's all right.
That's all right.
That's all right. That makes this podcast raw. You know what I mean? Like Big Daddy Kane, who is alive and well.
He's alive.
You know
and
what
well.
I mean? He's alive and well.
He's alive and well.
And Miriam Tazi, thank you for joining us.
Thanks
Baby
for
Craig
me.
Riddle over there in the corner, being on his best behavior. You want to say what's up to the people on the internet?
What's up, people?
That's right. That's Baby Craig, and we got Code Riddle in the house, aka Justin Riddle. You want to say goodbye?
All right, bye.
Yep, so that's what's up with him. And your boy, Malcolm Riddle, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sharing with a friend. And be sure to follow Terry Excellent. All right? Domino, motherfucker.
This is for the G's, and this is for the hustlers. This is for the hustlers, not back to the G's. This is for the G's, and this is for the hustlers. This is for the hustlers, not back to the G's. Freeze. At ease. Now let me drop some more of them keys. It's 199 Trey, so let me just play. It's Snoop Dogg, I'm on the mic, I'm back with Dr. Dre. But this time, I'ma hit your ass with a touch to leave motherfuckers in the days fucked up. So sit back, relax, new jacks get smacked. It's Snoop Doggy Dogg, I'm at the top of the stack. I don't lack for a second, and I'm still checking. The dopest motherfucker that you're hearing on the record is me. You see, S-N-O-O-P, D-O-double-G-Y, the D-O-double-G. I'm fly as a falcon soaring through the sky. And I'm high till I desire. So check it, I get busy, I make your head dizzy. I blow up your mouth like I was Dizzy Gillespie. I'm crazy, you can't phase me. I'm the S, oh yes, I'm fresh, I don't fuck with the stress. I'm all about the chronic, bionic, you see. Every single day chilling with the D-O double G's. P-O-U-N-D, that's my clique, my crew. You fuck with us, we got to fuck you up. I thought you knew, but yet and still, you wanna get real, now it's time to peel. You say chill and feel the motherfucking realism. Snoop Doggy Dogg is on the mic, I'm hitting hard as steel, nickel. This is for the G's, and this is for the hustlers. This is for the hustlers, now back to the G's. This is for the G's, and this is for the hustlers. This is for the hustlers.